ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting on August 12, 2019, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 7, 2019, which is posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Here.
Mr. Dermody?
Here.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mr. Vroman?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. Okay, so as this is our first meeting since July, we have quite a few things to discuss, and I see we have a bigger audience participation than we've had in a long time, so we'll just go right to, I think, the public agenda, public comment on agenda items only. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment just on what's on our agenda? It's not the general public comment time yet.
7:10.
I'm open that at 7:10. Okay, being none, we will close public comment on the agenda at 7:10. We come to approval of minutes. We have July 8, 2019, regular council meeting minutes. Do I have a motion?
I'd like to move the approval of the July 8, 2019, regular council meeting minutes.
Second.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yeah. Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Luke, were you at the July 8th meeting?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Well, double check. I know you weren't at the 22nd.
No, I don't think
you
were
at the
8th.
Meeting.
Okay. Yeah, no.
So just, can you go back, abstain?
Yep, abstain.
Thank you. Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Do I have a motion for the July 22nd, 2019 special council meeting minutes?
I'll make that motion. Oh, it doesn't matter.
Okay, I'm going to put Mr. Esikoff as first, Mr. Hamilton?
Yep.
Second.
It's brick and crack.
All right, roll call. Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Abstain.
Thank you. Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay, under correspondence, we have a resignation from Dave Curtis, effective July 9th, 2019. As most of you know, Dave was one of our public works employees, and so he's no longer with us.
Did he give a reason on the letter? I didn't see it.
No, he didn't say. I think he just didn't have the time.
What's none of your business, Dave?
Not my beeswax, is it?
Are we planning to fill that position?
Well, you know, I've been discussing it with Greg and Greg. So at first, they didn't think we needed anyone. They thought they could handle everything themselves. Now they're saying possibly a part-time. So I'm going to meet with them. I was kind of waiting for the summer to end and meet with them. And then now that they've been doing it really for over a month by themselves, and we've had all these storms. And right. So I was going to reassess in September and see if they feel that if we need a third person or not.
I think we need a third person.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it might pay to have somebody as a laborer.
A laborer. Yeah.
At will as needed.
Yeah.
If there's storms, there's brush to clear up, you can have an assistant help either one of the Gregs.
We have so many severe conditions now all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And as much as a lot of us have helped in the past, it doesn't work for the age of the council at this point.
Yeah, one thing, I mean, I've mentioned this. No, I've mentioned this a few times, but Dave was really, when we had that storm, that huge tree came down on Homestead in the middle of the night around Thanksgiving weekend, and he just went out there in pouring rain and cold with a saw and cleared up the street. So we could definitely use a laborer. Resolutions. Come to resolution 19-88, payment of bills.
All for 1988. Let's pay the bills.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I just wanted to add that there it's a large bills list because we didn't have our two meetings.
No,
in a month.
Two meetings a month.
Yeah, so this is a combined roles list, and, so it's a lot more hefty than it usually is on a month, on a for a regular business meeting.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroom?
Yes.
Resolution 19-89, resolution requesting approval of items of revenue and appropriation.
I'll offer 1989.
Second?
I'll second that. Only because I know what it is. Okay.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with what we're voting on here.
Yeah, can
I have to take a quick look?
Mike, so you want to?
It's a grant that we received from Clean Communities,
yeah. And
we didn't have it when the budget was adopted, so you have to do a resolution to insert it into your budget.
Yeah, it's a bookkeeping kind of
thing. It's miscellaneous revenue.
Yeah, it's miscellaneous revenue.
The state had not done their budget by the time
right.
we had done ours for a change, so, yeah.
For
the state's
long
was
time.
Late. We had already secured our budget, so we had to modify it for the money that the state's giving us.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Bowen is in favor of taking the money.
Exactly, yeah.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yeah, I want the money too.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay. Resolution 19-90, authorizing the extension of the due date for the third quarter of 2019 tax payments.
I'll offer that.
I'll second that one.
You'll second that one.
Roll call.
Just want to note that taxes aren't due till September 9th.
Okay, that's
for
what I
for that quarter, just so people know. Of course, you're welcome to send them in at the regular time if you want or if your bank is already set up that way. What? Oh, that's true.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Yep. Resolution 19-91, resolution appointing emergency management coordinator and deputy emergency management coordinator. So I'll explain that Rob Masterson was our OEM coordinator, but he has moved to Millstone. So I will be the OEM coordinator, and Rob will be deputy because we have permission from the county for Rob to continue to do that from Millstone as long as he's the deputy, not the main coordinator. So it will be Rob Masterson as deputy, and I will be the OEM coordinator.
So will you send out the code reds?
No, Rob will.
Okay. So curious.
No, I probably will learn so that just in case he's not available, I can do it. Any discussion about that?
No, but we need a motion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Motion.
Anyway?
Make.
You'll do.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bowen?
Yes.
Mr. Dermody?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And Mr. Vroman?
Yes.
Okay. We come to reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Bowen, Public Works.
The only thing I have is that we're closing in on the fire hydrant replacement. And he's got one more quote that she wants broken down. They gave a combined quote with the cost of the hydrants plus the insulation, and she was only looking for an insulation price, so she's going to ask them to break that down. I think once that's done, we'll have everything we need to move forward.
Great.
And then there's issues about the branches and whatnot. I don't know if you want to discuss that at all or what the plan is.
As far as responsibility?
Yeah, I know that there's some ideas being kicked around from Anna regarding, having Greg go around and pick up branches or waiting until regular fall pickup for the branches. These are the branches that are, and I know it's already happening. I mean, people are putting lots of branches and trees. They look, some of them look bigger than 8 inches to me.
Also,
what we had decided was that we added on a branch pickup day, and that's in October. So we usually do one a year, but we're doing two this year because of all the storms and all the tree damage. But then Greg offered to go around and weekly and pick up as much as he could, even before the actual official branch pickup date. So it's sort of been loosely being picked up. The official date is October. I'm not exactly sure which day in October. I think Anna and I came up with a date to, you know, hopefully get most of, you know, be able to, and anything that's accumulated over the summer and early fall would be picked up. So, but then Greg said, you know, he'll try to pick up as much as he can in the meantime. So that's why it's a little unclear, because even though we have an official branch pickup date, Greg said, well, I'll pick up what I can in the meantime.
This will be Hightstown picking up?
Oh, you mean in the fall?
Yeah. October?
I think, don't quote me, but I think so.
Okay.
So, but I know we had wanted to discuss responsibility of trees falling, trees and branches falling. Mm-hmm. So do you want to, why don't we do that under new business later?
Just one quick thing. Jim Markey was just here, JCP and
right.
I. He says tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
The forecast is something similar to what happened a couple of weeks ago. So we should all be aware of that. So we'll see another
roof?
Storm.
Half a roof.
Say again?
I asked if Chad had a roof.
Yeah.
Half a roof. The other half has a tarp on it.
Yeah.
Oh, from a tree or from?
No, they're replacing my roof.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he'll be in very wet the day after.
Yeah. And I won't even be here.
Yeah, so let's leave that for the end. Anything else, Steve?
No.
Okay. Council Member Esikoff, administration?
We're still in business.
Thank God.
Yeah, and still solvent. But sometime during the meeting, I'd like to discuss, I was told that the JIT, which is our insurance brokers, or
JIF.
Okay, I'm sorry. They're our insurance people, and they're going to offer a cyber training program on the computer, 1 hour, and you can stop in the middle and come back to it. It's not, you don't have to hang in there for the whole hour. And the inference is that if we do it, it'll keep our premiums at the same level or even better. If you don't do it, apparently that's good reason to raise the, because they're going to have to cover it.
And who do they want to do it, Lou? Like everyone on the governing body?
The governing body, yes. Yes.
You usually get a reduction in your premium per person that does it.
Yep.
Like I think it's $250
a year. That's what happened
person.
In the spring. We went
to
that.
We did that.
But that wasn't cyber. That was
different.
Panel,
yeah.
So
that was employee
that's
issues.
One. The other
what is that involved? You have to go online? And
yeah, you'll go online. It'll be offered online. Anna said that she hasn't got anything on it concrete yet, but as soon as she does, she's going to disseminate it for the the other item is, if you all know Ely's Corner, when you take your life in your hands sometimes going into the corner, and I've noticed something very interesting, that people are not using their turn signal when they should be. And you sit there and you wonder what's going to happen next, you know. So there are, Monmouth County, I've seen them in several places, who can put up a sign saying use your turn signal. Now if we get 50% more compliance, that would be a good thing. And so we have to, I spoke to you about it. I spoke to Joe about it, and we're going to discuss it with the woman, our Monmouth County traffic person.
They had one in Clarksburg, right at the by the general store.
Going both ways.
Yeah, but then they removed it.
They
no,
also
it's still there.
No, still there.
It's still there.
I used it just the other day. Yeah.
That's thought it was gone.
There's another one on where the Wawa is on 33. That road, if you go down there, there's splits.
Yeah.
It says usually.
Yeah.
There's another one down on the same road further down. They're all over the place. In Monmouth County, apparently, that's good
place
for them. They like them. So they'll probably like this one, too, I hope.
It's easy.
And the other, the third thing is, somebody suggested to me a welcome sign to Roosevelt, something like a big brass, you know, similar to what Michael had across
the
street.
The one you and I have discussed with our heritage? And
yeah, heritage.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it doesn't have to be emotionally sloppy or whatever, just, you know, it has to be, oh, I've seen some, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Lightstown, Pride, Progress, and Pepe.
That's
good.
Right. We don't have anything like that. I was going to say, God, thank God we're here.
Well, we have the Jersey Homesteads, as you, you know.
Yeah, that one over there. But that one, you know, is sort of very generic.
Yeah.
I would like to see us do something about that. We could have, the sign could be about the same size as that one, and telling us that we're a, you know, what we are really.
Yeah, I think I asked Anna to ask you if we needed an ordinance or anything. She said no.
No, you should just purchase it.
Yeah.
But you're talking about putting it on a county road, so you got to count.
Yeah,
you
well,
contact
okay.
the county. Because you're talking Clarksburg, I'm sure, 571 entering, and down here.
Yeah, well, I would like to see it. You know where Nurko Road, just before Nurko Road, there's a, right at the peak of the hill there. That would be a nice place.
That would be good, yeah.
People have, you know, got into the road already and have time to look to see some of it, if not all of it. Just an idea.
Do you want to contact the county? Start to make an application?
Well, we're gonna
when we talk about the one side, we'll talk about the other.
We're going
okay.
to try to
break. She'll reject both of them at the same time. You don't have to go through the pain twice.
Daria.
I hope not.
We'll try to get her back here again.
Yeah.
Should we throw maybe a design thing to the Roosevelt Arts Project and see if they can come up with a sign? Or
I'll tell you, they're a lot cheaper when you use the template that the people
have.
Yeah,
that's what I was
regular
I mean, so I've done them in my town, in Aberdeen. I've also watched Allentown try to do them with, like, a melted ironworks thing that they were trying to do.
I can
tell you that if you use the sign places template, it is far, far cheaper than trying to get it custom made.
Yeah.
But you have a lot of talented people in this community, so maybe someone can make it for you.
Same sign, like people that did the
borough. But not.
I'm
think
not
we're
sure
talking
they do
not
metal.
Brass.
I think Lou's
yeah.
talking
brass
about like an official metal.
You don't have to make a metal.
Yeah.
No, but aren't they more?
So the ones
more
I have
glass?
In Aberdeen are maroon with two stands, and they look more like. You ever been to like a hotel and it says entrance or lobby? It's like that kind of thing. They're actually made out of the poles are fiberglass and the sign is laminate.
So it withstands the elements.
Yes.
So it's laminate wood. It's not brass or anything.
I think there's a wood core.
Yeah.
But the newest ones I saw, they ordered for the parks in Red Bank, the Johnny Jazz new sign there, the Johnny Jazz Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's totally laminate because you can see where they routed it out and there's a surface layer. Of maroon, and then underneath there, you can see the core is white where they routed out the
plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure a machine. I don't think they do it by hand anymore. I think there's a machine
yeah.
that does it, but there's plenty of people that'd be more than happy to sell you that sign. So if you just call around a little bit, or it might be on the state. I know they have them on the state contract too. So Anna might be able to find you a vendor that's right on the state contract. And you don't have to do any of the bidding or anything like that. Just tips. I've done this a few times.
That's all I have for the moment.
Thanks, Lou. Okay, Councilmember Germany, Community Development, Code Enforcement.
Okay, I just wanted to revisit the possibility of introducing a tree ordinance. I think there's been some, you know, additional tree removal as of recently. And there's been a lot of the town not happy with that, and I agree that it deserves some kind of oversight. I think it would be quite simple to introduce something similar to neighboring towns. Based on my research, I think it's best to hire a private arborist to kind of be the decider as far as what can be cut and not cut down, rather than forming a committee, just because we're a small town and it would take a lot of work to, you know, catalog all the trees, and it might make sense to bring in a third party in that sense. I see that there's some local ordinances here. Is it for that?
Yeah, I got a few of them together, Mayor. Okay. So I gave you, you guys, I think everyone has them, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So you have Allentown and you have Rumson. So the difference between those is pretty simple if you read through them. So you can form a shade tree commission. A shade tree commission is in charge of the public grounds, streets, parks, and any public lands or public area and the grounds surrounding the trees. And so the shade tree commission has the right, has the jurisdiction over those kind of trees. You can also, for example, Rumson goes a step farther and makes it part of the land use. So just like you have to get a permit for a deck, you have to get a tree removal permit, expressing the reasons why you want to take down the tree.
On your own property?
Correct. So that is the dividing line of regulation. So when you form a shade tree commission, you have jurisdiction over all of the trees in the area, and you have immunity for taking care of them. So if you cut down a tree that's on a right-of-way, but it's on someone else's property, and it was hazardous, and the shade tree commission turns to be hazardous, you have immunity for that. And that's the reason you form the shade tree commission, to deal with the rights-of-way parks, things like that. If you have a forestry management plan, which comes along with the shade tree commission, it's like the master plan for the planning board on the shade tree commission, then you're immune when the trees fall off your property onto other people's properties, whereas you ordinarily wouldn't be. So the commission itself affords you various means of regulation of the public trees and grounds and gives you immunity when there's a problem, generally speaking, in the absence of those things. Now, regulating trees on private property is already done here in the borough. If you have a site application or development site application, you have to submit a landscape plan to the planning board or the zoning board. It would be the planning board, because you're looking for a site plan. So to the planning board, and they must look through it, and there's all kinds of standards in your ordinance. You can see the size of the trees removed, how many have to replace, tree replacement plan. So that's almost in every town, but that's triggered by a development site application, right? So you don't have to follow any of those rules unless you're before the planning board doing a site plan for new development.
Our ordinance really is only for, I think, 1 acre or more or something like that, and for development.
I'm not your land use attorney. I'm not exactly sure what the triggers are, but if you need a site plan in this town, then you have to, or a major site plan, you have to comply with.
But it's all about new development as opposed to existing.
Correct.
Property.
So all the current houses that are around and everything, you can go on and you can cut down whatever you want at this moment. And that's what I think Luke is getting at. So the borough of Rumson has a much stricter tree removal ordinance. They're kind of a town. I mean, the houses are quite a bit different, but the grounds of the town. The houses are quite a bit different. But if you drive down their streets, you've been to Rumson, I mean, it looks exactly like it does here. Oak trees lining every street on both sides, all that sort of stuff.
So if we were to pass an ordinance, like a Rumson type ordinance, would that go into effect immediately?
20 days after passage and adoption.
Right. So that means that whatever we decide, and the town would approve of or whatever, there's going to be a reading period that the town would be able to talk about.
Oh, of course. I mean, you can't write. It's all legislation is prospective. So if you looked at the Rumson ordinance that they handed out to you, you can see, so for example, like you want to put a deck on your house, you have to come get a permit. You want to take trees down, you have to get a permit. And the tree conservation officer, who's someone who's designated under your ordinance of special training, typically in most towns it's the shade tree commission chair, but you can also certainly have a certified arborist. For example, Red Bank has a certified arborist that is in addition to the shade tree chair.
There could be attached to the environmental committee because they're the ones that go through the shade tree programs and whatnot, the environmental committee?
Probably not.
Nope.
Okay. I mean, the environmental commission has a different charge. Yeah. So it doesn't necessarily, and this tree removal ordinance doesn't necessarily have to be a shade tree commission. It just makes very little sense to do that on private property and not have a shade tree commission that's taking care of all the parks, public lands, and everything else.
So we can basically appoint somebody as an arborist, a qualified arborist, and once this...
Yeah, the one in Allentown is volunteers. So he happens to have taken the forestry management courses at Rutgers, and he volunteers. I actually think he lives in Hamilton, but There's plenty of people that want to do this. There's plenty of people that are very involved in the Tree City movement. You guys are a pretty good candidate for that. And so that's the comprehensive field of regulation, from the most stringent, which is someone has to get a permit to take down trees on their own property, to Shade Tree Commission, which is essentially take care of the parks and public lands and street trees and have a plan for that.
The Rumson plan also has
stringent.
They also have a Shade Tree Commission.
I would lean toward that one.
Yeah, I mean, Rumson has one of the bigger, the strongest Shade Tree Commissions in the state. I mean, they actually have their own website. You can go there. They are very, very involved in the replacement and cultivation of their trees, because they all live on estates and they all want the trees there.
You know, what Peggy said several years ago, that somebody bought up a house here, then did a clean out.
Many more than one.
We have to try to
avoid. Well, that's precisely what Rumson was trying to avoid.
Right.
They clear cut all those lots there.
Right.
The land is so valuable in Rumson, it's more valuable than the houses because of the peninsula it's on. So if you look at Little Silver, Fairhaven, all the towns on that peninsula, they would clear cut every square foot and build on it, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's why they've enacted those ordinances there.
And that's exactly what was happening here. We had people moving in and just clear cutting the land.
There's one on my street.
But there's quite a few, yeah.
Beautiful, gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous tree. Cut it down because he didn't want to start the climb on it at all.
But don't forget, though, too, that public awareness is very important, because you can write anything on a piece of paper. Someone goes and clear cuts the trees, there's no bringing the trees back. They have to go to municipal court, and they're going to have a problem with fines and ordinances, but money isn't going to bring the trees back. So, you know, like I said, I've done this a number of times. You can write whatever you want on a piece of paper. Public awareness is key. In Red Bank, for example, people are constantly cutting down the trees that are in the right-of-way for numerous good reasons, and now they have a plan through their Shade Tree Commission that they have approved species that won't interfere with the telephone lines, and then those are being planted back. So every time you see a tree go down in Red Bank, there's another tree being planted someplace else of appropriate species and type for the area.
I think that somebody commented on having a welcome.
I have a prototype of a welcome package
that
Annie and I put together.
If we pass an ordinance like that,
you should alert people to that. Yeah, public awareness is key, because you can't put the trees back up.
Just tell them you can't do it.
And so the tree removal permit, if you went with that regulation, the tree approval permit would go to basically like a construction permit, and then you can approve and deny it, and then there'll be a board of appeals, and you can make that as many steps as you want.
What are the prices involved? Say you wanted to cut a tree down in your yard because it was dying or something. You would have to get a permit?
Rumson charges $10. But the fine for violating it is like
$5,000.
Oh. So the point isn't to charge people. It's not a moneymaker for the town. I think they charge, if the tree is under 8 inches in Rumson, I think it's $5. The point is that they just want to make sure that people aren't cutting trees all over the place.
They're not
charging a lot of money, but if you violate it, then you will go to the municipal court, you're in for substantial penalties, which is why I say public awareness is key, because you have someone in the municipal court, the trees are already gone. If the point is to manage the tree stock, then it's really more about public awareness than it is about fines.
I'd like to see that ordinance.
Well, and also, I believe the state has a vested interest as well. Doesn't the Environmental Commission, Michael, get directives from the state all the time about tree removal, tree planting?
What we've been able to do is access programs that they have funding programs for forestry to encourage you to do this. Yeah, but it's that's not. Oh.
Sorry.
Okay, well, I'm sure you're okay. Yeah, we have the funding programs that towns can get if they meet certain requirements about maintaining the woodlands and improving the woodlands. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
for woodlands. Tree trees and woodlands.
How about the historic trees? I know in front of the school there was one of the historic trees got chopped down. There was a big to-do about that.
You know,
that.
Joe, I thought we'd actually discuss this like under new business, so why don't we finish with our reports, and then we can come back to this.
All right.
Is that okay with everyone? Anything else, Luke?
Besides the trees, just to touch base on, a while ago I talked about introducing new chairs to the trail system. Just to update, those have all been constructed, and now they're going to be painted by local artists, and they should be up by September for the
whole. Could you just repeat that? I didn't hear you.
Chairs.
New chairs for the trail systems.
Oh, chairs.
Chairs.
Okay.
Painted by local artists.
Nice.
Thanks, Sue. Councilmember Hamilton, Finance.
I have some concern about, we received a DOT grant, a couple grant cycles ago for Homestead Lane improvements, and we put in an application with the iBank, which has really great funding, less than 1%, or around 1%, maybe a little more interest, depending on how the market works on the borough's cost share. And we haven't heard back from the iBank, and they seem to be dragging their feet. I don't know what's going on with them. But we filed for an extension, a six-month extension that expires in November,
right.
And I think we have to award a contract by then in order to, you know, still continue to get that money. It's several hundred thousand dollars. So I asked Anna and our CFO, George Lang, to work on alternative funding sources just in case we get denied by the iBank, so we're not left scrambling at the last minute if they continue to take their time, and possibly look at a bond anticipation note, a band, to possibly fund it, and take a look at the different costs of some of the other financing mechanisms that may be in place. MCIA may be able to finance it.
Do you want to say what that is? Municipal?
Monmouth County Improvement Authority, and they have some good finance. They pool financing from different towns and get a good rate of interest on it. And that really, it does lower the cost over time when you're financing it. If you can get a 1% loan.
Grab it.
Yeah, grab it right away.
Weren't we approved by the IBank for this initially? Or?
No. You have to file a lot of paperwork, and they haven't really given the final approval. We're approved. We're okay to advertise, I think. We have approval to advertise now. But we don't have any funding in place yet for it. So I'd like to see that lined up. So I asked Anna and George Lang to look at different cost scenarios for each of the funding, alternative funding sources, just to see which would be the most beneficial way to go if the iBank doesn't give the funding. I don't know what's going on with them. But usually they'll approve you right away. Are relatively quickly, so we'll see what happens with that. But I think we need to move along. We have a bunch of projects that are building up, and we're getting a little bit of a logjam with it. And you're going to run out of season for paving, you know. Which this is a good time to pave now. And once you get into November, they're not going to want to do the paving.
They don't do it under certain temperature.
Right.
Is Carmella involved with knowing what's going on with this? Or?
She says it's in the iBank's court with that, but I have to follow up a little more on that, and then we'll take a look at the alternative sources of funding, and we'll get ourselves lined up. But I think we can put a little pressure on the iBank to move ahead with it.
The Homestead is what you're talking about.
Yeah, this is the Homestead Lane project.
Now the DOT is approved for that? So that's the iBank.
The DOT gave us the grant
right for
it, but we have a municipal cost share. It doesn't cover the whole thing, including
share,
pipes
not
and
the
everything.
DOT share, but now
right, our share has to be financed in some way.
Okay.
But again, you know, one of our fallback situations is that we can do is a bond anticipation note, which is not a bad way to go. But I'd like to get the best interest rate if we could. So as soon as I get information on that, I'll be calling a finance meeting, and we'll look at the different options for it. But we have a number of projects that we really have to get moving on, and I'm trying to push it ahead a little bit. End of report.
Thanks, Mike. Councilmember Trumell, Utilities?
Just got a few things. I went to the JCP&L meeting the other day. And,
thank you for doing that.
Yeah, at Home Bell, at the old Home Bell land site. And Jim Markey just came in to thank us for coming to the meeting. It's like we're on the radar. I like that. So the meeting was about what JCP&L does when we have a weather situation or power outages like we had last week and last month. So they're working on a lot of new technology. One of the things they said was when people hear like a shotgun go off by the telephone wires and whatnot, that people usually think it's a transformer. It's not a transformer normally. It's a fuse. There are these fuses that are kind of loaded that when they go, they're very loud. It's probably what you heard a couple of weeks ago.
My neighbor, yeah, my neighbor. Well, no, my neighbor said he watched it explode right in front of him.
Okay, well, so I didn't see any bad transformers replaced over there, but when it's really loud.
He was driving under it as it happened, so.
Okay. Well, a lot of times it's a fuse and they come and they change. They route power to us from two different directions, from Clarksburg and from Twin Rivers over there, so we're kind of lucky like that. I know the Silver Village had half power and not all power, so that's kind of good because at least you got a little bit of power. But they've got us back up in a couple of days, which is really nice. They're working on new technology, so instead of those fuses, they're going to start replacing the fuses with circuit breakers. So instead of the things that hang down when they blow, they put these boxes up. They're working a lot with Florida for a lot of their technology down there because they get a lot of hurricanes and wind damage and whatnot. The big thing that we spoke about was these, the red sheets that I was talking about earlier. If your well water in your house, they have to know it. And there's an application for that. That's these red sheets. If you have life support equipment, critical life support equipment in your house that you and your people use, they have to know that. So JCP&L gets these applications, and they approve them, and then they tie in with our OEM people, and our OEM people tie in with the county people. So when 911 goes off about problems on highways or life support or whatever, JCP&L gets involved in that also. So this meeting was mostly first responders. It was a policeman, it was a couple of firemen. Mayor Lake Cuomo was there. The administrator from Millstone was there. So people that really wanted to know what's going on in their immediate area, they were basically there. So the first responders really needed to know how this stuff worked. And so they're really good about it.
Well, they were, JCP&L has been very sensitive to at least Roosevelt's needs. I know it started with Jerry Lopardi and now Jim Markey, because I was on a mayor's conference with them, and when I explained that we have a senior citizens complex here, which may be a bit misleading because a lot of senior citizen complex are 55 and over, but that in Roosevelt it was more like 85 and over, and they didn't have air conditioning, and it was they were here. The rest of the town wasn't restored, but they came the next day to restore Solar Village. So they're very sensitive to Roosevelt's needs. We used to be last on their list, I think, because we're so tiny and remote. And in the last few years, they've really given us priority care.
I thank them for taking care of us, not in front of the crowd, but personally
right.
I thank them, because if we are up the list, that would be nice. One of the other things I want to bring to your attention is AT&T sent some people to run some new antennas up the water tower. They did not have permission to enter. We stopped them. Between Carmella and Greg here, they looked over AT&T's proposals for what they want to do, and we don't want what they want to do interfere with any other contracts we might have on the water tower.
And the weight, too.
And the weight, the structure, how many antennas, all of this other stuff. So I understand from other people who are in charge of water towers and towers around the state, that they do this. They'll come in the dead of night, they'll do what they gotta do, they'll leave, and you'll never know that they did it. But in our case, we don't want that period at all. I told them I'd call the state police if they ever did that again, so.
Well, to explain, they actually broke in. They didn't enter without permission, they broke the lock.
They unscrewed the hasp that the lock was on, they slid the hasp up so that they could open the door, and then they put their equipment inside the gate. And then I showed up and
said, no.
No. So they locked.
You carrying your gun?
No. But they left some stuff in there.
When I
came back, it was still there. And I said, what's this stuff in here? They said, should I take it out? I said, how are you going to get in? The door's locked again now. So you're going to get in the same way you got in the last time? And I don't think they wanted to unscrew the gate in front of me. So we installed another chain lock around the gate that they cannot, unless they took the whole gate off this door. So that's being worked on between Carmela and Greg here. And they actually gave specifications for what they're going to do. Which is
Carmela is currently reviewing.
Yeah, which is nice.
She had questions about what it was.
Yeah, exactly. And the other company that was going to do an installation sent somebody to scout the tower also. So if it's going to be any difference, we need to know.
We'll be aware, yeah.
We'll be aware. Okay, I want to also thank Ben Johnson is doing a documentary on Benjamin Brown over there. And the tree has gotten removed from Brown's grave site.
And the dead trees.
The dead trees. Yeah. And Steve Taylor was nice enough to come over and clean the rest of the grave site up. The poles that surrounded the website were kind of falling off, so he created new poles out of PVC pipe and painted them aluminum. So it looked really good.
You can really see it now.
You can see the
grave site.
And it's a little tilted, so we might want to talk to the cemetery manager about that. But we did a quick video of Al Heppner speaking Yiddish about the gravesite yesterday, as a matter of fact, so that was good. And the last thing is 41 Tamara Drive at Dave Tice's house. It's been approved that they can change the water, not the meter, but the valve is not working out front, so that's been approved.
Yeah.
And I know it's a nice low bid also. So
nice what?
A low bid to do that. So.
Joe, I have a question about J.C. Pinnell's life support critical care list. It says on the thing that if you're on their list and they know that a power outage may last for longer than 24 hours, they will contact you. But what will they do after that? They'll give you a call and say, sorry, but it's going to be longer than 24 hours.
Well, they have contacted Michael Pickton because he's on well water.
Okay.
So when they contact you, what do they say, Mike?
They just get a message on the telephone saying that we're studying
Power
severe
outage.
Weather predicted. Not just a power outage, there's severe weather predicted, just recommending just, you know, a bottle of water, put water aside or something like that.
So before the bad weather comes, they give you advice.
Right, so that's all it is to tip you off that this may be a prolonged event.
We might be out of power for a day or two, so get ready, get out of that house if you're, you know.
Right, because I had that situation happen with Nancy when she had some breathing support equipment that was there that was operated electrically.
Yep.
It also had battery backup, which was good, two batteries for backup. But we had to run lines over from Greg Defoe's house, from his generator over, to make sure, because it was longer than 24 hours, make sure those batteries, if they ran out, we could have that.
Yeah.
So, we
this
did. So
it's basically a heads up. If there's going to be problems, you know. Right.
Will First Aid have a copy of that list, or will we have some sort of generated list that we maintain?
The way they work it is these applications here, these red papers, fill those out and give them to JCP&L. There's
a website. Don't I get a copy also?
Well, JCP&L also gets in touch with our local
OEM.
And our local OEM gets in touch with the county OEM. So everybody should be on the same page. So it's kind of like
as long as somebody in town regarding emergency responsiveness has that list of critical people who need life support.
That would be our OEM should have that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we should remind people that any time there's any type of severe storm when we have a power outage, the borough hall is always open, and we have water. We generally have some food, power, heat, air conditioning. We've been opening, ever since Sandy, we've been opening the borough hall, which we usually mention, I think, on the Code Red message, that the borough hall is open for anyone who needs to come in. And we'll stay open as late as we need to or all night.
Good.
But you better wait, Mike.
That's it.
I just didn't have to. I was done. Councilman Broman? Environmental health and safety?
Nothing new. I was just going to mention about the trees. It's, because somebody read my mind. The ordinance is, so that's good, based on what recently just happened on Homestead. Just about clear cutting. Well, being clear cut, they stumped a bunch of trees. It's topped everything down to about 15 feet high, and now you have sticks sticking out of the ground now. But other
yeah,
than
we'll,
that.
Yeah, we'll discuss that
yeah.
at the end. You need anyone to watch your house after tomorrow? Watch your roof after tomorrow?
Yeah, just watch it flapping in the wind.
Under health and public safety, I'd like to suggest that we set up a meeting with our first aid squad members to talk to them about how we're going to respond to calls and maybe perhaps even work with Millstone on responses. They've offered to cover some of our calls if we're double booked. If there's a call that comes in, like happened at the Triangle, call comes in, they're gone on another call. We don't have a second squad to go out there. Millstone can cover it. A lot of their members, in fact, I think all of their members are trained as EMTs.
So are there, well, we had a meeting with Millstone, that's what I know. There also are, all their firefighters are trained as EMTs.
Right.
And they've offered to provide coverage anytime. They're actually from, I think it's run by Robert Wood Johnson.
Yeah.
And they've offered to provide coverage anytime that we're lacking here, whether our members are out on the call or not available.
And so I think a meeting with them as soon as possible might be a good idea, and talk to them about working with Millstone in that way to make sure we have adequate coverage for our residents.
Also, Steve Bowen and Public Works should be involved there too.
Yeah.
Because when it is on 571 or interior anywhere, we need traffic control. So we need the cones, we need the flashing lights, we need something. I was out there too.
Didn't you have an idea about like a slow sign or something that someone mentioned it where we could put at the different triangles, because as soon as there's a detour, but then once people go off onto Pine or Homestead, they're flying down.
Yeah.
They don't know where they are. It's dark. It's at night, and then they hit the triangle and screech on the brakes. Have no idea where to go. So we had discussed the possibility of buying some like flashing lights that said slow that we could activate if we have a detour situation.
What we need is actually some sort of routine that we do as Public Works when any emergency like that happens.
Yeah.
Whether it's flashing lights or detour signs or whatever, we have to be on the case.
Right.
Yeah.
You could blockade Pine Drive below the triangle so that they're coming down and they know they got
to
go around the triangle.
Well, I went out.
Yeah, on Tamara, and that's the easiest way.
In July, I went out myself one night and just stood at the triangle with a flashlight showing people to go down Tamara, not towards your house. Anything else?
That was it.
Okay. Mike, do you need to say anything as far as environmental chair?
No.
Director? Okay.
Environmental Commission, I just want to let you know that there was a report that Anna conveyed to me and to Nick Murray about a tree down on the trail, and Nick is taking care of it. So, again, this whole issue of what's happened with the trees, Nick just goes out with a chainsaw and he takes care of it. So, we are dealing with that and other things they'll talk about, but that's Environmental Commission.
Thank you. Does anyone have any old business they'd like to discuss? No, seeing none, we come to new business. So first on the list is the use of the barrel hall. Ron and Kelly Skybeth would like permission to use it on January 5th, 2020, from 8 to 8. They're the people that bought Landau's house on the corner. Yeah. So I think they're about going to move in. Oh, birthday party? What, a first birthday party that's 12 hours long?
I think set up.
Yeah. A serious party. Yeah.
Special baby.
That's a serious party.
It really is.
It's an orgy.
So first and second, and then all in favor.
Do I have a motion to approve Ron and Kelly's birthday party?
I'll move that.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. They just had a baby?
No, their daughter had one.
Oh, the house.
A year ago.
Across from you?
No, Landau. It's the first house on
Landau, Jim.
Jim?
One right on the corner.
Jake.
Yeah.
Jake. Yeah. Their daughter has a baby who's turning one.
Okay.
But I don't even think they're moved in yet, but they will be soon.
It's working. Yeah.
So that was you, Joe, and then Luke?
Okay.
Why not? It was a tie.
I don't charge much.
Okay, well, we come to new business. I guess we'll discuss the trees now, and then we'll go to public comment, or if anyone else. I also just want to make an announcement that, you know, we have the Pocket Park that is borders 571 and Spruce Lane, and the Environmental Commission had planted a butterfly garden there, this year? Well, I'm sure they replanted every year. But anyway, it's just been a plot of land all this time. But I'm gonna be sending out a notice. But we did put we bought two benches, metal benches that are there, that have been chained to the tree, so stay there, and a trash can. And we're in the midst of having a sign made, letting people know that this is a park. And so for the residents, you know, you can either walk up the path and down lake to get to it, or however you want to take a walk. But it's a really beautiful little piece of land with huge pine trees. In other words, if you're looking,
it's right next to the horse farm.
Yeah.
Oh, but on the same side.
It's like across from the swim club, from Hilltop. So, but it's on the same side as the horse farm. And it's just this, there's a lot of lawn, a lot of grass, and then behind that are these enormous, majestic pine
trees.
Well,
and it's nice that you could sit there and watch the horses and look
exactly
at the horse
farm. Exactly. So the I tried to position the benches so that you can see the butterfly garden, see the horses, see, look at nature.
And somebody will come by, cut down the tree just to get to the lookout. It's a double whammy, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll put out a notice soon when it's actually is complete. But when the sign's ready, we'll put a sign up. It's a nice way to take a walk and then take a break there. And I noticed that a lot of parents. There's a strip of land, a strip of grass, in between the horse farm and the road. So a lot of parents walk children there because the donkeys are in front. And everybody pets the donkeys. What?
Yes, they are.
Are they like camels?
I'm sorry, the Roosevelt burros. And everyone feeds them. So it's like a nice extension of that.
Whoa.
And then you can walk over to the park. Yeah, it's been.
Listen, we've been mistaken for them.
Roosevelt Burrows. That's
exactly.
Nice.
Yes.
Did
you just put
a little sign up there?
Did you just make that up, Irene?
Softball team, the Roosevelt Burrows.
Anyway, so it should be. You know, I want people. We'll put out a flyer, and we want people to be aware that it's sort of another park or another place you can walk or hang out. And now we can go back.
I just have a quick question about the trees. So you had mentioned, right, about the different levels of liability. So is there a certain liability that the borough would then take on if you enacted something like the Rumson policy to where you're requiring to have any kind of tree taken down has to be regardless of, you know, the condition of the tree? So if
no. I mean, there's no new liability taken on. If you have a shade tree commission and a forestry management plan, your liability goes away, essentially, for trees. So right now, if the borough has notice of a hazardous condition as to one of these trees on someone's property, like precariously leaning in debt over someone's shed, and they write us a note here and says, this is a problem, and then it falls on their shed, it could be liable because we had noticed the hazardous condition in advance, failed to address it, and then to, you know, approximately cause someone damages. So that's the ordinary course. But when you have a shade tree condition and you have a forestry management plan, it removes that liability. It gives you qualified immunity.
Okay, because I was just thinking if you require somebody to submit a permit and you don't respond quickly enough.
The borough is exempt from any liability pertaining to the issuance or failure or refusal to issue a license, issues to a certificate, permit, certificate of occupancy, any of the government. So, for example, what's a classic example? The borough doesn't issue a permit for a water heater. The water heater blows up a house and lands in the guy's house next door. Borough's not liable for that, for not issuing the permit, even if it was a mistake or an error. The state has, under the Tort Claims Act, has excluded liability for municipalities in that instance.
Okay.
Say it might not apply to your hot water heater installed. For example, demonstrated dichotomy between the public and private liability. If you had a hot water heater installer come in and install the same hot water heater, blew up and hit both your houses, he's liable. He's got insurance. Yeah. But the borough is immune from issuing the permit or doing any of its ministerial functions if it fails to do it.
Okay.
So what do you want to study the different tree ordinances from Allentown and Rumson?
So what I usually do this is if you guys want to all take a look at the materials that I gave you and email me your thoughts or if you have any questions, because I'm not going to be able to answer them all right now. You're not going to be able to read everything right now. And then what I could do is take that, what I usually do is gather all that feedback, and then before the next meeting I can write an ordinance that takes into account everyone's feedback. Like, I can't think of something off the top of my head now, but it's always, I write this stuff, but you guys know the town better than anyone. That's why you're sitting up here. So, you know, I don't know the particularized issues of Roosevelt that you guys would know about. So if you give me feedback in an email, I can put together a draft ordinance. We can come back and workshop it again. Or I can try to send it out in advance so you guys can take a look at it and say, that's good, put it on the agenda for introduction. That's typically how I take it. It probably takes us a few meetings to get through the process of getting to where we need to be on the ordinance.
Good.
And I'd like to say, because obviously I know why you're all here. Because I was going to say this was not specifically discussed to target anything. We've been talking about this since I became the mayor. I periodically brought up because there are many instances of people moving into town and just clear cutting their property. Okay.
Something better.
Good. Good.
There are no baskets of tomatoes, so that's good.
Unless you're in Spain. Anything else for new business? I think I'll just say, try to discuss something nice. We're putting together an end of the summer party for the town, similar to July 4th. I was waiting to see if we could do it financially, if there was the money available. But I think we're going to have in October an end of summer celebration on the lawn at the school. We won't have that many some light refreshments, but we'll have music. We're going to ask people to bring blankets and picnic baskets and hang out, and then we're going
sweaters.
Yeah, definitely, I guess.
F-keg.
And then we're going to fireworks. I'm almost positive. Like, it seems as if it's we're just waiting for final word from insurance, from the our insurance. Or
can we just make sure that there are no other holidays?
I did that. Then we'll move over. Sunset that day is, I think, 6:30, so we thought maybe at 7:30. We could all move over the way we used to, behind the school, and have a fireworks show. I know. Everyone loves fireworks, and everyone loves a party. So I thought, I've been trying to put this together. And I discussed it with our recreation director, who's the one that found the fireworks company. So when I asked him, would it be decent, he said, well, it wouldn't be Macy's, but it would be really good. So it's in the works, and it looks as if it's going to be a go. So that should be nice. So
he has to get the permits for the fireworks, right?
Well, but I think the company actually does all that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. We have some final details with insurance, but I'm pretty sure it will happen. Okay, so now we come to the public comment section at 8:08. I open the floor to public comment.
I'd like to just comment on some of the things that were discussed.
Mm-hmm. Come right up to the mic. Just give us your name, even though we all know it, or most of us know it, and your address.
I'm Irene Block. I live on Lake Drive. And I want to say something about the turn signal and whatnot. There's two things that I've noticed this past year especially. People coming from out of town don't know where Great Adventure is. And I think Great Adventure should put the sign
Waze or one of those apps is now directing people. Yeah.
But they
Roosevelt.
Get confused because it appears to be an intersection that's straight there, and they get confused, and there is, I think, a sign that says Great Adventure. That way will alleviate a lot of the confusion about these people, and a turn signal underneath it perhaps.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think it's the Great Adventure that's causing the
problem.
Because everyone...
Yeah.
That's
have
the
you seen traffic flow?
I have.
There.
We came back from the shore, and there was like a zillion cars coming
through
Roosevelt.
Well, years ago they came through Roosevelt. Then everyone, once 195 was completed, everyone went on 195. Now there's some apps or GPS.
Sending
you right through Roosevelt, I know.
Right. So I think Great Adventure should be...
Well, who would do... We'd have to get a county permission for that.
This has been a particularly bad year for traffic on 195, though. Like today, there was another accident by a wall that backed them up like 10 miles. I got stuck out there twice on the way to Allentown.
So that's why they'd rather come through Roosevelt. It's easier.
It is. Nobody knows it unless they use Waze.
Well, you get tour buses coming through here going down the Great Adventure.
And to Atlantic City.
Well, I was hit by a truck on 195 almost 5 years ago, and I was told that that's the most accident. More accidents happen on 195 than any other road in New Jersey.
That's great.
Which I...
I'm surprised also.
Me too. I
thought
it was too.
I thought it was the
parkway. Yeah, by Eli's Corner here, I've seen state police cars involved in accidents over there because people
stop.
Well,
my husband, when he was in high school, there was his mother was the first car after an accident that killed two or three classmates, and so I paid particular attention to that intersection.
It's a horrible.
It is, and I think there should be a four-way stop sign, but that's my theory.
We're talking to
the county does not give out.
Are you guys talking about the cockeyed intersection that way?
Yeah.
Well, this is unfortunate.
I've been here for, 2 years now? I still don't know how to go through that intersection.
Yeah, because
sometimes I don't know if the people over there are going to stop or not. I'm, like, in the middle of the intersection.
Because you don't know who has the right. I feel like an idiot every time,
but it's the same intersection. I'm like, it's the intersection.
Well, also, years ago, it was only Roosevelt people who used the intersection.
But you still don't know who has the right of way.
There's only one stop sign on the intersection, right?
There's two.
Coming the other way, too, there's one?
No,
coming out from Roosevelt Road on an angle.
I haven't decided yet. I'll let you know what it is.
I'll tell you something. Some of those people coming from Millstone, they're coming through there. They're doing 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, because it only used to be us.
They're not stopping for anybody.
No, I agree. That's why I stop. I'd rather be late than never. Now, I have a comment about Greg picking up the stuff. If he could just do like a schedule of streets, I think, you know, if he wants to pick up like from Homestead or Pine Drive, or I think that could alleviate some of the confusion. But that's just...
Well, yeah, we have to discuss it because it's not really part... I mean...
I don't know.
We do an official branch pickup. He offered to do this. So I'll see if he wants to do it on an ongoing basis, if he's able to do it on an ongoing basis, or if it's just right now because of the storms.
Right, and there's going to be
more. I'll find out.
This past go around was a lot of branches.
I'm going to mention trees. But it's not in conjunction to any of the trees situation. There are, and it's bothered me for quite a while, when you come down 571, I don't see the flashing sign that the school is doing a crosswalk until you're almost there. There's a tree in front of it that has vines that cover the sign until you're on top. Not cover the sign, but block the sign, I should say. And I think that's really a hazard, and that has to be addressed. And some of the signs that say bump, you can't see until you're on the bump on Lake Drive. And you have to see those from...
Yeah, and we have it on our list of to-do to repaint all the bumps because they...
Well, I think the signs also help because they're reflective. And that's another thing. The triangles, I've got so many ideas. The triangles, I know they're not going to have lights or, you know, but reflectors, large reflectors that say this way or that way might solve the problem.
Or just let them know that it's there.
Yeah, that it's not a road.
We actually put up new yield signs on a couple of the triangles, I believe. So, yeah.
Are you talking for when it's detoured and you need to...
No, detoured, I think you do need a person because nobody will know. But if people don't see the triangle, I think it's, reflecting, some sort of reflecting thing. Now, I want to know if the EMTs that are volunteering will have equipment with them, or are they just going to be here? Because there's only one ambulance, as far as I know.
equipment for what, Irene?
You said that if a volunteer, I mean, if there are ambulances out on a call, people volunteer from a fire department.
When a Millstone First Aid.
We've always had mutual aid.
Has come
aid.
To us. No,
right.
They came to us specifically a few
Millstone
weeks
Fire.
Ago. Millstone Fire.
We have mutual aid
to
with Millstone Fire now, but not with the First Aid.
Offered to cover
really?
Us.
Really? Yeah.
No, but they offered at no cost. They offered to cover us for first aid.
And will they have equipment? That's my thing. Are they going to bring their fire
yeah.
truck?
They
or
have
are,
fire
will they
fire
have
yeah.
equipment?
Well, no, but this
fire
is
fire
the first
truck's
aid.
Definitely.
Yeah, but aren't they a paid fire department?
No, they're half paid, half.
Yeah, they have
half
all the equipment they need.
From six to
yeah.
six, and then
yeah.
volunteer.
Yeah. Because having somebody who knows what to do and not having the equipment is
no,
is
they'll
is
have
crucial.
Their equipment.
No, they're a professional.
They're professional firefighters. Yeah. They have everything.
They have, so they're bringing their own equipment.
Yeah,
with
them.
Okay.
They have a paid force now, I believe. So.
Well, they're paid half. They're paid from six a.m. to 6 p.m. and then 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
But they employ professional
but
firefighters.
Right.
Who people's job it is to sit there all day in case there's a fire.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they have
equipment.
It's funny. They're a union. They're not allowed to work without the equipment.
We've always had mutual aid with Millstone.
Well, but then it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, but not on first aid.
Not on
first
aid.
When I was
so they're offering
it.
To cover us for first aid, too.
No, I know, but we had it. We had it with Hightstown and Millstone.
Oh, that's
and
great.
And Allentown, actually. We all had
this is more. I think
right.
this is more than mutual aid.
Yeah.
This is
this
them
is
agreeing to cover
no,
ours.
No, no, no.
Not
right.
aiding us, but actually
I understand.
Mutual
that.
Aid is when the alarm goes out, all of the adjoining departments get it also.
Well, that's
so there's an
mutual aid refers to the priority list. So they would call our first aid first, and then there's a list.
And
two is Millstone. Three is Hamilton. I don't know, I'm just making it
there's
up.
So many
and
calls.
Then they call
yeah.
down the list. But that's different than these people are offering to supplement
no,
our
I
force.
I understand that.
Yeah.
That is that. Okay. I think it's a wonderful idea. Now, with this emergency JCP&L, is there going the emergency tree situation? If I have a tree that's going to come down, is there somebody I can call to come and look at this tree immediately?
You mean that you think is in danger of falling?
Yeah.
It's
you
on
call
your
own tree
or?
On your property?
Yeah.
If
I don't have to have the commission tell
oh,
me it's
no.
okay.
There is no commission.
There's no commission.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I know.
Now.
I know
right.
now. I know there is no. Let me see what else.
Or are you typing hypothetically about
when there is a commission.
When there is,
yes.
yeah, you will call
is
the arborist.
Is there a telephone number?
But there's an emergency circumstances, for me, like, sorry, you know, lightning strikes a tree and half of it's laying across your driveway. That's excluded from the ordinance.
I don't care about
idea.
The driveway. I care about the house.
Or laying in
yeah,
your house or
right.
laying across power lines. That is all excluded from the ordinance for emergency situations.
Okay, that's all I have about your meeting. Now, I have a couple of things I want to say.
Let me say, if a tree hits a power line in front of you or near your house or anything, immediately call JCP.
Yeah.
yeah.
We actually have underground.
How many
well, yeah, you're over there.
How many? I have, well, this list I just made while I was here, this list I came with.
Good, it's great.
Okay, we at the
no one could say you're listless.
That's exactly right.
Oh,
well. Thank you. We have had a situation with the synagogue and the shul, and we all know about the trees, which we'll address at a later time, but there was a vandalism taking place with a piece of equipment, and it was broken, and then there was a flag stuck into it, an American
really?
Flag, yes, and it really seemed quite anti-Semitic. Then there was someone that came on the shul property, went around to the back of the synagogue, took photographs, and it alarmed through the windows, alarmed the rabbi and his family. And we
when
find
was that.
I'm sorry?
When was that?
I don't know. I was
2 weeks ago.
Okay, I've been here and there.
Did you call the police?
We don't know who it was. I don't know who it was. I'm just saying that it's uncomfortable.
Who saw the person?
I guess someone did see him. I guess someone, and it was a man. I don't know. I don't know if he would even know the name. And the children saw him, yeah. And
did you call the police?
I think we're debating.
You can just make
a report. And let's see. Okay, what we want to establish is that we are not the enemy of the synagogue, that it is part of our community, and we are trying to build up our synagogue again, and we want to extend goodwill and good faith and with everybody in town. And we want to do this in a peaceable, respectful way. The rabbi would like to invite anybody and everybody to attend an open house type of situation to discuss whatever you want. His door is open. He'd be happy to speak with anyone. And we want to keep it mutual and respectful, because I know the bad taste in everybody's mouth, and including mine, of what happened years ago with the previous rabbis. And it turned into a really terrible, hateful situation where people were threatened, where there were Nazi signs on the bulletin board and trucks with gas drawn to a house with members on the board. And we want to avoid all of that crap, to be put it bluntly. So we want to maintain a good working relationship with the town. 90% of us on the board are from Roosevelt and are living in Roosevelt. And we want the unity of the synagogue and the unity in Roosevelt, because it is a community.
So are you on the board?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And other people here on the board also?
Yes.
I've just been curious. I'm an outsider.
Oh, well, you can be an insider. Okay. Just knock on the door.
I grew up in New Egypt.
Gail is the secretary. Judith is a treasurer.
He's
just a member.
Jewish. We all know your Irish, Jill.
No, he gave me a zucchini. He gave me a zucchini and didn't even know who I was.
I know. I'm sorry.
We want to keep it amicable.
Yeah. But this kind of caught everyone by surprise.
It was very scary for the family. It was scary for the family.
It is a synagogue, and you don't have to. You should not have to.
No, I agree. I agree. And that's, I hate to think. I don't think that there is a lot of anti-Semitism, but it frightened the rabbi and his family. That's exactly right. It takes only one.
We wanted to let
you know that it's a situation that is sad.
Yep.
It's just sad. And I have run out of things on my list.
You're welcome to come back.
Thank you.
Have a new list. Mike?
All right. One thing that was interesting. Talk about the traffic coming through to Graded, Michael Tixon. The traffic coming through to Great Adventure. This was a big, great concern that Izzy Sakowitz had 45 years ago. That once they put that in, that they're going to look at the map and then you can see that's the most direct route. And that didn't happen. But now they're being directed to do it. So
it happened in the very beginning. Then people realized about 195 and it stopped. And now I think it's on quite a few apps. Like GPS
to
come through.
Yeah, right. So he proved right at the eventually, yeah.
Since there's a Milford Road exit off exit 8 on the Heights down there, that's the exit to Roosevelt. That's a direct line.
Oh, of course, absolutely.
That goes straight to
Absolutely. Which reminds me, where's the plaque that used to be up there about dedicating the room to Izzy? There was a bronze plaque that was right up.
Everything, when the room is completely...
Okay, it'll be put back there. Yeah, okay. I just hope that wasn't lost and it'll be put up. Okay, that wasn't the main thing. Okay, now as far as the tree ordinance, just some thoughts on that. Number one, one time we had a shade tree commission.
I told Kathleen
we had
nothing.
It never did anything. It never had anything to do, really.
Nothing in the book, though.
There was, because it wasn't recodified. So it's not in the book now.
Yeah, they planted trees at the triangle.
Well, they did some planting of trees, but it wasn't that much, though. But the first thing I'd say, make sure before you pass any ordinances that you really are convinced there's a need for it, simply because if you have trees fall, Public Works takes care of it now. Or just, we have this example of the tree of the,
It's more for the people clear cutting.
That's something else again, but if a tree, I'm saying the two, as Greg pointed out, they're two separate issues.
Right.
One is the Shade Tree Commission on public land, and I'm just questioning whether there's really a need to do anything different on public. Just be sure you really have a need before you do something, that you're not going to set up some body, which is, again, going to never do anything. Okay. The clear-cutting issue, again, I think just make sure, that you have the will and the ability to enforce whatever you're going to decide to do, because we have a long tradition here of setting up all sorts of requirements and then never enforcing them. So we don't want to get into that again. So before you set up a, make sure we're you really are convinced that you want to go forward with it and you see a way to enforce it that you that can be followed and will be followed. That's all.
Thank you.
And do more like maybe if you're taking more than six trees down that you have to go for a permit.
They have levels like that.
Yes, do they have? Yeah.
Where it's like one tree, you're allowed to just do you throw it two. You can make it. That's why I want everyone's feedback. You can pretty much make it whatever you want.
Yeah.
Hi, thank you, Nancy Warner, 4 Homestead Lane. I'm against the tree ordinance. A lot of people have many trees when they move in, which have been allowed to grow many times because the people haven't had the money to remove them. Secondly, I always thought when trees fell, it was considered an act of God, and maybe that's only for insurance purposes. Another is I don't like trees on right-of-ways because I think they eventually obstruct vision. The Landau House, when you come out of Pine Drive, you can't really see because the trees have overgrown the right-of-way. Also, Maple Court, when you come out of Maple Court, the Sakharov House, you can't see to make that, left-hand turn. And I think people need to know where the right-of-way actually is because they think they own it, not just share or maintain it. The walking road, the path on Valley Road, that really is in bad shape. And these, I think, needs to be cleared. I think it's in bad shape. And
do you know where she means, Steve?
The walking road, the closed
path,
road.
Where the solar village, the path that goes up onto Lake.
Oh, okay.
Past we've always called it the walking
road.
Yeah, past the two dome houses on the right and the,
It's a bicycle path.
Right.
It was, but it's pretty overgrown now.
The paving is still good.
The paving is still good, yeah. And I think lastly, we do have an ordinance authorizing a shade tree commission. Why it wasn't codified, I don't know, but we haven't had a shade tree commission in decades.
It's
but the ordinance was there.
I think it's about 20 years.
Yeah,
when
probably.
Gail moved, it sort of faded away.
Okay, but the authorization is within our ordinances.
Yeah, it is.
That was repealed.
Was it repealed?
It was repealed.
Okay, all right, I didn't know that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You know, Gail Donnelly used to sweep that path.
I said when Gail moved.
There was sticky ball things.
And she
swept them all.
Yeah, I said when Gail moved, the shade tree commission sort of died. And okay, anyone else from the public? Okay, we will close public comment at 8:27.
I don't know where to add this, but I wanted to mention something about another traffic issue, and I'm suggesting that the traffic issues get brought to committee too for recommendations, and I guess it may be the Health and Public
Safety Mr.
Committee.
Roman.
But truck traffic is being diverted to go down Nurco Road. There's a sign there that says truck traffic this way.
Really?
Yeah, it says this way.
In other words, make a right when you get to Nurco?
Right, there's a sign there that says truck traffic should go that way, and so it's being diverted. So wherever trucks go down Nurco Road, we've had complaints about that here.
That man told us.
Yeah, they're pretty good-sized trucks, and they do speed down Nurco Road, and there's been accidents along Nurco Road where people have been killed. A school bus driver was killed there years ago. So there's some real traffic issues that we need to look at and see if we can work it out with other municipalities and the county to make sure that we have proper signage and that they're not diverting traffic down these residential streets and causing a dangerous situation. So
is that
I
a county sign that says truck?
That's going towards Hinestown, not coming this way.
Coming
this way?
Yeah.
From Hinestown?
Yeah.
Where would they go if they go down Nurco Road?
No, they would.
How are they going to get?
So let's say because everybody knows where it is, let's say you're coming from the winery. And you're coming back into town, all right? Yeah, and you're going down, instead of the traffic going straight, there's a sign that says to divert down there, make that right-hand turn, and then make the left, and truck traffic is supposed to go down Norco Road that way.
Also, when you're coming off of Hightstown, Allentown Road, going across there from Redwood,
that
winery, so they say to turn.
There's a sign that says truck traffic this way, diverting it down Norco Road through Roosevelt.
So it won't go on the little side road, the Windsor Road, that's... So they couldn't make a right there if they had to.
Michael has.
After they leave the one.
Hopefully the truck drivers aren't going there, you know.
So I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. They do.
What they do is it's on the county road there. Okay, and the sign says, as Mike was pointing out, the county road diverts it down now. What I suspect the reason for that is that that's the traffic that's going to be going down 571. Yeah. And if they continue to Ely's Corner, it's a very sharp right.
Yeah.
And a sharp, and a truck, coming out of Windsor Road is probably too sharp a right for a truck to make. And that's probably the reason. That's probably the reason for it.
There have been trucks diverted.
Right.
To
I agree. Yeah, I think that's the reason. So I don't know how you get around that. That's probably just the best, the one way you can get them through there.
Well, I think Ely's Corner then needs, because that seems to be the crux of a lot of problems.
Well, they can re-engineer Ely's Corner.
They can re-engineer Ely's Corner.
Solve a lot of problems. You know, there's a lot of accidents, potential for accidents
there. And there's been loss of life there.
Yeah. So talking to the county about that would be a great thing, and maybe they could do a traffic study.
Rather than doing a roundabout... They're doing a roundabout down where 571 comes out. There's a round. They're putting a roundabout there.
At Scooter's Corner.
Where 571 comes and then comes, you know, makes the you're coming from Great Adventure.
That's a five-way there.
That's the five-way stop.
Yeah, Scooter Corner.
That five-way. Yeah, that
you know
five-way.
When, you know when that was approved? That was approved about 8 years
well,
ago.
Well, Scooter's Corner. Yeah.
That's
supposed to be putting a right a roundabout there. So maybe they should. You know, maybe somebody's just doing a roundabout.
Well,
that would be the solution.
Roundabouts are effective.
Yeah, but it'll
take slow
years.
Down traffic.
I'm telling you, they.
I remember. Years,
I remember when they approved that at Scooter's Corner. It was about 8 years ago. No, but I mean, they voted on it. They voted to put it in 8 years ago, and they're still like that. Counselor, do we need an executive session?
Not this evening, Mayor.
Okay. I have a motion to adjourn.
Before we do it, I want to thank the public for coming out. It's always, it really is always good to hear about different things because we can't see everything. We can't, you know, we have a blind spots. We don't, we're not always aware of the issues that are going on out there. It's nice to have you all here.
People also.
Thank you.
I've only been here 50 years.
That's it?
Yeah.
There's always somebody who's been here a little longer than you. Say, yeah, you're a newcomer. You're a newcomer. Nancy will do it.
Doesn't count. I motion to adjourn.
Second.
Who was first?
Joe.
No, I was first.
Oh, were you? Oh, okay.
All in favor?
Aye.